Good morning. It's good to see everybody. You guys alive and well? It's like 1,000 degrees, but it's still a degree or two cooler than it was yesterday, so I'm happy. Are y'all? Oh, what a great summer. I'm excited about this series. If you're a guest here, it's great to have you. Hope you get connected. In fact, we have our Serve 201 today at 2 o'clock. We'd love to have you there if you're interested in plugging in and being a part. And my heart as a pastor is to see you connect first to God and then connect in godly relationships that can help you grow in your walk with Christ. That's why we exist. We exist to reach people. We exist to build lives. And in truth, we're a church that exists for the people who aren't here yet. And there's a lot of them, thousands and thousands. And God's called us to reach it, to reach those people with the truth that he knows them and loves them. And I'm excited y'all are here. And honestly, I'm excited about this series. If I'm transparent, I'm a little kind of freaked out about it as well because it's a really big topic. Are y'all ready to dive into it today? Yeah. It's about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray because I need it. And maybe you do too. Father, thank you that you're with us. Help us to hear from you today. Amen. Okay, the Holy Spirit. So I get this question a lot. What is the Holy Spirit? So we're going to start with basics today. And over the next few weeks, we'll dive into really the Holy Spirit and how he impacts the world around us and how he impacts us. And so like, what is the Holy Spirit? And I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not a what. The Holy Spirit is a who. It's God. I mean, if you looked at my wife and said, what is that? We might have a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's who is that? It's my wonderful, lovely bride. And the Holy Spirit is not a what, it's a who. And the who is God. Not a different God, not a separate God, not another God. And please, y'all hear me on this, not a ghost. He's not a ghost. So I'm just saying, I know people, how many of y'all grew up saying, oh, we call it in church, we call it the Holy Ghost. And like three of y'all. Okay, there's like a bunch of people and like we grew up calling it. He's not a ghost. And the reason that I'm going to say that is simply because in our current cultural context, ghost has the meaning of someone who was once dead, who is now an apparition that haunts the world. That is not God. Okay. It is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And just a reminder, there's one God. In the Old Testament, we see just before the giving of the law in Deuteronomy, God the Father speaks on this. I know this sounds crazy. Wait a minute, you just said he's one God. Well, let's see what God says about this. God says in Deuteronomy 6:4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So we know that there's how many gods? One God. But we also see in Scripture, we see that the Spirit of God, which we call the Holy Spirit, so it's God, which would be the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and then in the New Testament, we see the incarnation of God in the man flesh of Jesus, who said, the Father and I are one. So we know that there's one God, but we see these three aspects of God. And so are we Trinitarian or Unitarian? Well, we believe that there's one God because God spoke on that in Deuteronomy. And Jesus, when asked in Mark 12, he was asked by a teacher of the law, like, what's the most important commandment? And most people will quote, well, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But before he said that, he actually said this. Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so how do we rectify that with a series that we're doing on the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is God, and we're like, I'm just really honestly, it's kind of frustrating to me to think that we can put God in a box and say, this is the end all, know all, we know everything there is to know about God. And I'm just telling you, we know what he's revealed to us. And if you think that you know everything about God, you're sorely mistaken. And if you're married, I'm just going to ask you this question. Do you know everything about your spouse? Because like, I've been married for over 20 years and there's still stuff I'm finding out about my wife. Nobody can amen me on that because I need it. But God has revealed to us, even in the very beginning, that he is spirit. John chapter 4 actually tells us that God is spirit. And may we recognize that God exists outside of the way that we exist. He exists outside of time. He's big. There's a mystery to the faith that we don't get because we can't see everything as God sees it. We just see where we are right now, and we get a glimpse at the past, which oftentimes is really skewed. If you think that you can see your past with clarity, you might be mistaken. I know that they say that hindsight's 20/20, but I'm telling you, it's not. How do I know this? Because I have children, and they recount things to me that happened to them when they were real little. I'm going, that wasn't it at all. What you talking about? My parents say that of me. They say that of me when I'm on the platform, and I talk about stuff where I grew up, where my dad was like kind of crazy and did some wild stuff, and they're like, it didn't happen like that, son, but it's the perspective of a child. Thanks, Dad. But the reality is that we know what God has revealed of himself to us. He's spirit. He's one. But we very clearly see God the Father. We see his spirit. And we see Jesus as the Son. To me, that's comforting, knowing that God is way bigger than we are. So who is the Holy Spirit? What are the attributes of the Holy Spirit? And we're gonna go into this over the next few weeks. Here's what I want you to know. This is what we see from Scripture. And I'm just very lightly hitting on some of this. We'll go in depth as the series goes on. But the first one is that he's a comforter. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a comforter. In John 14:26, Jesus says, but the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I've told you. And what a comfort that is to know that God's Spirit is with us to stand on our behalf. He's a standby. He's right there with us. And he reminds us of things in a moment when we need it. That's very comforting. He's the comforter. The second attribute of the Holy Spirit, he's a caretaker. That means he takes care of us. In fact, in John 15:26, Jesus says, I'll send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He'll come to you from the Father and he'll testify about me. In other words, we see that there's a guide, that the Holy Spirit is an advocate, that he's there. He's on our behalf and he speaks to the Father on our behalf and he speaks to us and he helps us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is a comforter and a caretaker. The third attribute of the Holy Spirit, he's a creator. He's a creator. And this is what I want to talk about today, that we need to recognize, and I need to recognize, that number one, God is a spirit, but he's a creator. He's the creator. In Genesis 1:1, the very first verse in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. This is who he is. God is a creator. In verse 2, it goes on to say, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God's a creator. How does he create? And I want you to get this because it's so key. Because if we think that we can like receive from God in the way that we like receive like a receipt after we've paid for something, it doesn't work that way. If I can receive a drink that somebody's handing me, I just take that. But can I tell you, it's a little bit different because God is spirit and he speaks to us. This is his primary method by which we receive. This is how he begins the creative force in our life. He begins to speak. How can you say that? Because Genesis 1:1, he created. Genesis 2:2, it's the Spirit of God. 1:2. Genesis 1:3, I don't think I have it up there, but I'm going to read from it. Is that okay? What do y'all know? Come on now, I'm up here with a mic. You can't do nothing. Well, I guess you could bum rush the stage, but I'm telling you, you're going to get foot to the face. I love y'all. Y'all are great. Is that horrible, baby? That's horrible. If somebody's bum rushing me, I'm gonna kick them. I'm not gonna stand there and go. Are y'all awake this morning? The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God's a creator. His Spirit was there in creation. And then this is how creation took place. I mean, it says, verse 1, God created. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was over the deep waters. And then the third verse, then God said, let there be light. God chose to speak. He could have thought it and it would have happened, but God spoke. Why is that important in our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to us. God is a speaker. So I just want to briefly, this wasn't in my notes, but I'm gonna do it because I think it's important. Because so many people go, well, how do I hear from God? Like, I want the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life. Well, let me tell you, he speaks in three primary ways. Here's the first one. He speaks through words. About 99% of the time, you know what it is? These words right here. It's the Bible. Then God said, let there be light. Can I just tell you? So many people who are going, God, I need a word from you. I need a word for you, from you. Then you get into his word because he speaks. And just as he spoke, let there be light, he wrote down in his letter to you what he has for you. People that are going, Lord, I need to know what the will of God is in my life. Get in the Bible, but I don't understand it. Then keep seeking, keep knocking, keep reading, and find somebody who might have some understanding and get around them. That's why small groups are so important. That's why it's so important that you're not just connected into a church service. That's good, that's good, but it's not best. Best is being connected into God's word and godly relationship, because when you connect into a church, that's a good thing. But the best thing is you connect to God and you connect to God's people and unbelievable things happen. How do we hear from God? Like, how does he speak to us? Through his word. He speaks to us through his word, but then he speaks in our thoughts. So there's three aspects of thoughts that I want you to get. You ready? The first aspect is that, and you've probably thought this before, is that thought from me? Or is it from God? Or is it from the devil? Has anybody ever had those thoughts? Is that me? Is that God? Is that the devil? Who is that? Am I the only one? Come on now. Usually it's like, wait a minute, was that God or was that me? And then we go, was that the devil? I don't know. Maybe that was the devil or was that me? Have y'all thought that before? Yeah. Really simple. You ready? If it's from God, it's good. How does God speak to us? He'll speak to us primarily through his word, but he will also speak to us through our conscious mind, our thoughts, and it will be good. Let me define good. That means it brings you to the place of life. The second way that God will speak in our conscious, the second aspect of it, it's good. So that's one. It's from God. The other aspect is, if it's good, am I bouncing it off other people? Because if it's God, it's going to be able to be bounced off of two things: God's word and godly people. How does God speak? Through his word, through our thoughts, our conscious mind. If it's from God, it's good. If it's from God, it's gonna pass the test of scripture. If I get a thought and I go, okay, Lord, that seems like it's bringing me and other people to life, I ask him, God, can you show me in scripture? And I'll start seeking God and I'll find a confirmation in his word. And then I'll go to somebody else and find confirmation in a godly person. Hey, this is what I felt the Lord told me. And I mean, it's good. And then he gave me a scripture. Like, I read the scripture and just jumped off the page at me and just stuck with me. What do you think? And I submit that to godly people. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word, through words, through thoughts in our conscious mind. And then he speaks sometimes in our subconscious mind through dreams and visions. I'm a guy that, like, God speaks to me through dreams. And I'm convinced that's not a mark that I'm a great spiritual guy. I think it's maybe because sometimes I'm just too dumb to catch it by reading the Bible or the thought that's in my brain. So he has to get me when I'm asleep in a captive audience. So, but like even this facility wouldn't be without a dream that I had that was clearly from the Lord. I mean, it was a God dream. God speaks to us. So here's what I want you to get. As the Holy Spirit, as creator, this is what you have to know. He brings life to us. He brings life to us. He forms us, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. once again, God is spirit. And when he created man, he formed him first from dirt. He formed him. And then he had this formed man. And then he does something that he doesn't do to any other aspect of creation. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he came alive. Why did he do that? He could have thought it. He could have spoke it, but he chose to breathe. Why? I just firmly believe, and this is just speculation, just follow along, that God is spirit. And when we see spirit translated in the New Testament in Greek, it's almost always pneuma. It means like a wind. And then we see the spirit of God hovering over the waters in creation. And then God speaks, and then we see the breath of life into Adam, the first person, that God breathes on us. The Holy Spirit as a creator always brings us to life. But it is through the breath of God. And here's where it gets to me. I'm like, okay, that can be a little weird, because I grew up in the televangelist era of the 80s where those guys were just kind of crazy. Nobody else. Okay, just me. And so they would be like, and receive the breath of God right now. And they had people that would blow on like, y'all line up right now, everybody line up at the front. Am I the only one that was subjected to televangelists? Sometimes because my mama made me, sometimes because it was a form of comedy. It's terrible, I'm just being honest. And the guy would line people up and like, receive the breath of God, dear brother. When they'd blow, and you're like, well, this is strange. Like, why am I getting, they're blowing on me. And then they'd fall down, and I'm like, and then that guy goes to jail, you know? I'm like, for stealing money. I know, I've lost the moment. But it was funny. He breathes on us. The Spirit of God breathed into Adam. And he received life. In the New Testament, the resurrected Jesus, who had foretold his death, his betrayal, and he had been betrayed, beaten, bloodied, hung on a cross, put into a grave, but he didn't stay there. He rose again, and he appeared to over 500 people. And when he was with his closest disciples in John chapter 20, he does something that's a little odd if we did it in the church service. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why did he do that? Because if I had a service where I said, all right, at the end of service today, I'm gonna come and breathe on all of you guys. Hold on though, I'm gonna get my gum first because that might... Why did he do that? I really think it was a picture of how we receive life from him. Because let me just tell you, is it important that you read your Bible? Is it important that you connect in small groups? Is it important that you praise God and you sing it? Yes, but let me tell you, you can do all of that and still be dead, because you can make it a task and you can miss the Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit that we have to have him breathe on us. And you can be in a service and people are going, God's doing so much, oh my gosh. And you can be there like, what's the deal? I don't feel anything, because there's something that happens in us being willing to receive. How does he bring he's a creator. He brings life to us. He forms us. He breathes on us. But at the end of the day, I have to be willing to receive. God, am I willing to receive from you? Lord, I want you to breathe on me. And I know that can sound a little odd and a little strange, but God, I need the breath of life. But here's the thing. A lot of times we don't like the breath of life in our life. We don't like to be at the place of Adam. Because we have to get ourselves to the place where we're allowing God to form us, to breathe in us. And he doesn't just breathe in us. I mean, he forms us. He breathes on us, but he makes something of us. He makes us come to life. And then, let me just tell you that when you are serving God, you're saying, Lord, I want to receive. Like, his breath has the propensity to knock down everything around you that you've built up about who you are. And that's scary. Because when he breathes on you, he comes and knocks down what you've built, that your life is being built on, that you said, well, this is my job, and so I'm building myself on this. These are my hobbies. These are my relationships. This is what I enjoy doing. And he'll blow on you, and he'll knock all of that down, and that's not fun. Everybody's like, God, breathe on me. Well, he breathes on you and he brings you to life, but his breath will take some stuff away. Well, how can you say that? Because look in Genesis chapter 2. He makes something. When he breathes on us, he makes something of us. It says he made a helper for Adam. But in Genesis 2:21 and 22, it says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to that man. Let me just tell you something, that when you recognize the creative power of the Holy Spirit in your life, that there's a spiritual breath that comes on you and you receive it and you say, God, I receive it. He's going to take you to the place where he makes something in you, but then it's only going to work if you're willing to let him take something out of you. Because the Holy Spirit brings life. He brings life, but let me tell you, he takes something from you. He takes something from you. Are you willing to say, God, here's this thing, like take it. He took a rib, like right here, like a rib. Let me just tell you, ribs are important. You know why? Because they protect vital organs that are not seen by the naked eye. Why the rib? Why did he take? How is this mixed in with the Holy Spirit? Because it was the breath of God that breathed on Adam and brought him to life. And then God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm gonna do something in him so that he can have what he needs. And this is where Christianity, if we're not careful, is like, God, I need your spirit because I need my mortgage paid and I need to keep my job and I need this relationship to be fixed and I need to fix my stinking thinking and I need to deal with my depression. I need you to deal with my addiction. And those, listen to me, those aren't bad. But he brings life to us. And here's the second thing, because the Holy Spirit's greater desire is to bring life through us. He brings life to us. In the Old Testament, we see the example of Adam. But he wants to do something through us. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, where Jesus breathed on his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. And if we're not careful, I need you, Holy Spirit, to make my life better, to make me what I need to be. Let me tell you, that's good. That's good. But it's not best. Best is allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. That's his desire. There's three instances in the Old Testament where we very clearly see the Holy Spirit at work. The first one is in creation. The second time that we see the Holy Spirit at work, we see someone filled with the Spirit of God. Do you know where it is? It's in Genesis 37, and it's a guy named Joseph, whose life had been a train wreck. He thought he heard from God, and he had these dreams that God had given him, but when he told his brothers his dreams, his brothers hated them because he was basically telling all of his older brothers through the dream, like, I had this dream, and like, you guys were bowing down to me, and they hated him because they thought he was cocky and proud, and he may very well have been a little cocky about it, but God gave him these dreams, and he knew it, and so his brothers conspired to kill him, but instead, they ended up throwing him in a pit and then selling him into slavery, and he went from the pit, he went to Potiphar's house, this Egyptian official. He was taken down to Egypt and he was given a place of prominence and then he was falsely accused of something he didn't do and he went from the pit to the Potiphar's house to the prison. And he was years in a prison. You know what God was doing? God was making him, but to make him, he had to take something from him. And let me just tell you, you say, God, breathe on me, and he will make something, but the way that he makes something of you and in you is because he takes something out of you to get something through you. Okay, that was good. I should probably write that down. Joseph's life betrayed by his brothers, hated by his brothers, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, brought up to prominence in a high official's home, only to be falsely accused and sent to prison for years, rotting in prison, until one day Pharaoh calls him, because Pharaoh's had a dream, and it had been told that Joseph was able to interpret dreams. And he interprets a dream that Pharaoh has. And then, without even being asked, Joseph explains the meaning of the dream, which he was asked, but then he does something he wasn't asked. He says, and this is what you should do about this dream, because the dream was Pharaoh had saw, he saw seven fat cows come up out of the Nile River, and then seven skinny cows came up and ate all the fat cows, but they were still just as skinny and sickly. And then he saw this one stalk of grain with seven heads, and it was this beautiful, huge, it was bountiful. And then he saw another stalk that was seven heads, but they were all withered and dead. And Joseph said, I know what your dream means. It means the land of Egypt is gonna have 7 years of unbelievable produce followed by 7 years of famine. That was interpreting the dream. And then God gave him the wisdom to be able to tell him what you need to do. And he said, this is what you need to do. You better save everything for 7 years because you're gonna need it in the long run. Because those 7 years of famine, that's why those 7 years are coming, so that you can prepare for the bad. Let me tell you, God always gives you the good so that you can overcome the bad. And Pharaoh, after hearing this prisoner who was so filthy, they had to give him a bath and shave, like cut his hair because he was just in his own filth. He stands before the king. And in a moment when he thought he was at his lowest point in his whole life, he's still serving God. He's like, God, I don't understand. Because when God is making you, you may not understand it. Because he may take some things because he wants to make you into somebody that he can use to use his Holy Spirit to fill you, to get something through you. Pharaoh says this in Genesis 41:38. So Pharaoh asks his officials after he hears Joseph speak, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? What is his creative capacity? He breathes life. He brings us to life. He brings life to us. Why? Here's the second, so that's in Adam. And Joseph, we see the Holy Spirit role is to bring life through us. God wants to use you. He wants to fill you with his Spirit, not so that you can walk around like this. Hey, man, I know this Bible backwards and forwards. And let me just tell you right now, if you have any misunderstandings, I'll be happy to correct them for you because I've read the Bible and I'm filled with the very Spirit of God. That's arrogance. That's pride. That's not understanding the work of the Holy Spirit who wants to do something in you because he has a role for you to be used in so he can get something through you. And if you think that's always fun, it's not always fun because he's going to take something from you so that he can make something of you if you allow his Spirit to rest on your life. The third thing, the role of the Holy Spirit as a creator in our life is he brings us to life. He brings life to us. He brings life through us. Here's the third one. He makes the broken beautiful. One of my favorite passages of scripture in all of the Bible. Where is it? I didn't mark it. It's in Exodus. We're going to read this in just a moment. Don't put it up yet. In Exodus 31. And it's the first time we see the phrase filled with the Spirit of God in a moment. We see it in Joseph's life. We clearly see it in Adam. We see it in creation. We see it in Adam. We see it in Joseph. But here's the third time in the Old Testament where we see this filled with the Spirit. And it's a moment. But I'm gonna have to set the stage. Y'all ready? I'll do this quickly. Y'all ready? Okay. The nation of Israel has recently been freed from slavery. They've been enslaved for 400 years. And then God speaks to a deliverer, the greatest prophet of all, Moses. And Moses goes and speaks God's word to the Pharaoh, which is this, let my people go. You probably know the story. If you don't, go watch The Prince of Egypt. It's a cartoon, you'll like it. Or you could read the Bible. They're delivered miraculously by the hand of God. Literally millions of people. And They flee Egypt, and now they're in the desert. They have no identity other than their slavery, very little. They have no idea what to do or where to go. And they're a broken, broken people. And then God speaks to Moses and says, I'm making a place for my presence. I'm making a place so that people can see something beautiful. They can see that the place where I am is a beautiful place. And I'll take this desert, I'll take this broken people who have no identity, who have no understanding of who I truly am, and I'm going to show them something beautiful so that they know I have a purpose and a place for them. And then Exodus 31, God chooses this one guy, Bezalel, and he says, I'm gonna fill him with my spirit and he's gonna make beautiful stuff. This is what he says, Exodus 31. The Lord said to Moses, look, I've specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He's a master at every craft. He was filled with the Holy Spirit to make things beautiful. The creative work of the Holy Spirit in our life brings us to life so that he can bring life through us so that the broken can be made beautiful. And Bezalel, this one guy who was just like, hey, I'm pretty handy with things, God filled him with wisdom and with skill to make every implement, every tool, every piece of art for the tabernacle, the first temple. And it was the place where God's spirit resided. And it only happened because one guy was like, hey, I believe that God's filled me with this spirit. He had to receive just as we do today. He had to recognize that God's hand was on him and that it was the very spirit of God that was at work in his two hands to craft these things so that he could be used by God to make a beautiful place for the work of God and the people of God. What does the Holy Spirit create in our life? He creates what we receive. The question really becomes, have I received his life? Have I received it? It's a convicting message for me. Lord, do I really allow you to breathe life into me? Are there any dead areas of sin? It's the work of the Holy Spirit that'll show us and breathe on us. Am I allowing him to bring life through me? If I am, I should have examples, physical examples of where he's used me to be light and life to others. Remember Genesis 1, let there be light. Remember Genesis 2, breathe to bring to light, to life. Is he using me to make the broken beautiful? Here's what's funny. All of this is Old Testament. I don't have time. I have it in my message, but I don't have time. There's a correspondence with everything in the Old Testament. These three times that we see, there's a direct correspondence in the New Testament with the creation and the breath into Adam. It's Jesus in John 20, which we did talk about, breathing life. And Joseph, God working through him. He brings life to us. He brings life through us. It was really Pentecost, which is actually celebrated today, was the outpouring of God's spirit that Jesus talked about and told his followers to wait on, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as they were waiting in a room all together, there was like a rushing wind that blew over them. And then there was flames of fire over their heads. And then everybody in that room began to speak in different languages, but they were known languages. And it just so happened that it was the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which is actually it was a couple days ago, but it's still a Jewish festival, that Jews from all over the world were in Jerusalem for that moment, speaking not Hebrew as their native tongue, but other languages. And all of these people who were filled with the Spirit of God and were speaking other languages, they went out into the streets and they began to speak and glorify God. And people from all over the world understood them and they were amazed. And they said, how can we understand these people in our dialect, in our language? Because God brings life to us so that he can bring life through us. And then what's the correspondence for Bezalel and taking the broken and making them beautiful? It's the first church. It's that day when everybody was speaking in other languages and people heard Peter, full of the Spirit of God, Peter the fisherman, Peter the uneducated, Peter the big buffoon, truthfully, with a loud mouth. I like the guy. I relate to the guy. And he stands up full of the Spirit of God, and he preaches the truth that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was sent by the Father. 3,000 people give their life to Christ that day. And here's how their identity was formed. Here's how the broken were made beautiful. They went to church together. They studied the Bible together. And they ate together in each other's homes. I can learn from that. I can learn. I mean, preparing for this was so good for me because, God, I want you to breathe on me so that you can bring life to me, you can bring life through me, and you make the broken beautiful. Maybe you're here and this message was for you, and you need the life of God inside of you. It is much more than just you memorizing scripture or going to a service. There is the Spirit of God who will breathe on you and bring life to you. Because if you think that you are just your body, you're mistaken, because your body gonna betray you one day. But God's Spirit never will. It'll bring you to life. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me and I know it. I know it. Maybe you're here and you love God, but you just feel like, I need life to come to me. God, I need you to breathe on me. Maybe if you're here in that scene, you say, Pastor, I love God, but I just feel like I've been kind of dead in my faith. I'm gonna pray that God, by his very Spirit today, touches you and that you receive what he has for you. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I know this was for me. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Lots of people all over. Father, I just pray right now that God, that you pour out your Spirit on those with their hands raised, that Lord, they receive, that Father, that they surrender themselves to you. And just as Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, and then he breathed on them, that they do the same. Lord, may you breathe on them. You can put your hands down, and maybe you're here and you have no real spiritual life at all. But you want one. Jesus said this to an old man who was a religious teacher. And the old man said, Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he said, you gotta be born again. And the old man laughed and he said, how can I do that? He said, I'm old. What am I supposed to do? Go back in my mama's womb? And Jesus said, there's two births, one of water and one of spirit. And one of water is like your mama's water breaking and you're born naturally. But there's a moment where the light bulb goes off and we realize that we're living a life that's dead. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Maybe you're here and you need spiritual life. You need a new life. You see, Jesus died to take that dead life from you. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Maybe you're here and you know that today you need to be born again, that you need a new life. It's simple. It's as easy as ABC. A, you have to acknowledge that you're dead. You're dead. Your life is dead. You're dead in your sins. B, You have to believe that God knows you, he loves you, and that Jesus died so that you could live. He took the punishment for your sin. And then see, you confess. You say, I confess to you, God, I need you, Jesus. I believe you died on that cross. I'm yours. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need that. I need that life. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me today. I need to pray that prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you right here. I see you. Thank you right here, I see you guys. And over here, I see you. But we're just all, everybody, let's just pray together right now. Let's just pray, just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I recognize my sin. I turn from it and turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. My life is yours. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.